I've got my Bible there, but I like to have my hands free. Is that all right? Do you understand? I'm still speaking from the Bible. And now I know it's very strange, you know, there's these 10-minute talks, but actually I look forward to these 10-minute talks. You can say quite a lot in 10 minutes. And it's a privilege to be with you, speaking to believers. And I've got a word for believers this morning. And it comes from a book that we don't very often read or hear preached, the book of Hosea. And chapter 2, and verse 15. And the prophet there, Hosea, says this, speaking to Israel. He says, the valley, God is saying, the valley of Achor shall be a door of hope. The valley of Achor shall be a door of hope. And that's my text for you this morning. And for me, too. Hosea chapter 2 and verse 15. The valley of Achor shall be a door of hope. Is that what it says in your version? I said, about that sort of thing?
Yeah.
What verse?
Hosea chapter 2 verse 15.
Thank you. The valley of Achor for a door of hope.
For a door of hope, yeah. What did it say just before that then?
And I will give.
I will give the valley of Achor. All right, same thing. I will give the valley of Achor for a door of hope. That's nice. Or the valley of Achor shall be a door of hope. It's the same thing. Have you got a marginal reference there? Have you got a marginal...
Vineyards, yes.
Eh?
It's the word vineyards.
No, you, I think you got the wrong one.
Well, this is authorized.
Vineyards in the authorized. Vineyards.
Oh, a vineyard. Oh.
I will give her a vineyard from thence and the valley of Achor.
Ah, the valley of Achor. Yeah, what does it say? You've got a note reference to the word Achor. No, okay. Some versions have got a reference there, a footnote, and it says trouble. Achor. It's got another word for Achor, meaning trouble. Okay. Right. The valley of Achor shall be a door of hope. That's the text, okay? Now, Hosea can use this illustration, and everybody he was speaking to knew what he was talking about. Okay? He didn't have to explain it. Let me illustrate to you. If I said to you, we need more of the Dunkirk spirit, would you know what I was talking about? What am I talking about with the Dunkirk spirit? I'm talking about 1940.
Yeah.
That's when I was born. The week I was born, in May 1940, in Dunkirk, the British army and the French army were being slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And if Hitler had pushed on, that would have been the end of the war. He would have destroyed both armies. But in God's providence, I think, there was a tremendous spirit, an armada of small vessels, and they went across to Dunkirk, and they picked up 300,000 and more men and got them back. Without their weapons, it's true, but they got the men back. And there was the seed of the victory in 1945. Tremendous defeat, tremendous retreat, but the Dunkirk spirit, you see, backs to the wall. So we all know what the Dunkirk spirit is. We don't have to explain it. Hosea did not have to explain what the Valley of Achor was. Do I have to explain it to you? Do you know what he was talking about? I'm listening. You're going, John.
I was talking about the occasion when...
Achan?
Pardon? Achan, yes. Took the Babylonian garment and the bar of gold when they sacked Jericho, and he shouldn't have done so, but he buried it instead.
And what happened to Ai?
They were defeated.
So, what is it about Achor then? What happened to Achor, the Valley of Achor?
Well, Achor was swallowed up, wasn't he?
No, that's Achan. Achan
was swallowed up,
but where was he? Well, he was stoned. No, he was stoned, you mean. He was stoned. Achan was stoned. But where was he stoned? In the valley of Achor. Joshua chapter 7.
Yeah.
Joshua chapter 7 is the place, the valley, where they stoned Achan after the defeat of Ai. Because, as John said, he had stolen the garment. But it came down, like the Dunkirk spirit for us, it came down in their... history, it came down in their ideas, their thinking, their genes. Achor spells trouble. If you remember the book of Joshua, when Israel was defeated at Ai, Joshua was absolutely shattered. He couldn't believe it. They just won a tremendous victory at Jericho, and they thought it'd be a total going on. And what happened was, their next battle, they were utterly routed and defeated. And he was humiliated, he was frustrated, he was upset, grieved isn't the word for it. And he pleaded with God, what's all this about? And of course it was Achan's sin. But the point is, Achor and trouble go hand in hand. The valley of Achor is a nasty place for Israel. It's a place of trouble and sorrow and defeat and setback and frustration. All those kinds of words. And yet, in the book of Hosea, God says through Hosea to Israel, and if you look at the context, it's all again, defeat, suffering, judgment. You read the passage, it's all about that. But in the midst of that terrible catalogue of judgment by God for their sin, God gives them this tremendous promise. The valley of Achor shall be a door of hope. Now, I want you to think about this. This is what Hosea, in the name of God, is saying to Israel. In the midst of all your sufferings, trials, afflictions, defeat. I mean, it may be because of their sin, but that's not the issue here. The point is, Israel is in suffering and defeat and misery. But God says, the valley of Achor, the very place of trouble, shall be a door of hope. And liberty and release for you. God does not say to Israel that in the valley of Achor I will make a door of hope. That would have been very wonderful. But this is the mystery here. That trouble itself, that valley itself, that dark valley, that place of difficulty and frustration, even in that, that is the very place which will be your hope. Now, I haven't come here to give 10-minute talk on Israel. I've come to preach to you, to teach you, to give you a word of comfort. I'm speaking to you believers. I'm here in a believers' meeting here. What's the New Testament, the New Covenant, the Gospel interpretation of this? Have we got anything in the New Testament that will speak like this? Well, how about that text in 1 Corinthians 10? There is no temptation taken you, there is no trial taken you, there is no difficulty taken you, but with that trial, with that temptation, with that suffering, God will make a way of escape. Yes. See, that's close to it, but that isn't it. No, that's not the one. See, God didn't say the valley of Achor, I'll make a door in the valley. He said the valley of Achor is. The trouble itself is the way out. So, let me give you another passage. It's in 2 Corinthians 12. Listen to Paul. I've got this thorn in the flesh, he says. I've got this terrible, whatever it is. We don't know what it is. Some think it's his eye trouble, but it doesn't matter what it is. God has told us not what it is, but he's told us he had this affliction, whatever it was. And he says to Christ, he says, take it from me, Lord. He prayed three times. You prayed for some things quite a lot, haven't you? Yeah. And what did Christ say to him? No, I'm not going to take it from you. Because you've got to learn this, that in your weakness, not that I'll give you strength, but there is my strength. Yeah. He says, therefore, he got the message. He says, therefore, I more gladly rejoice in my weakness, because when I am weak, then I am strong. But that's not the one I want to leave with you. The one I want to leave with you is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. These momentary trials. Oh, well, I better read it to you because your versions might be different. And I want your light affliction. Yes, we'll ever have other versions. But I'll read it to you so that I make some sense of it. But you'll have other versions, but you'll know the one I mean. Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he says this, therefore, We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us. Now, do you see the point here? It's our troubles that are actually achieving for us. It's not that God's making a way of escape out of our troubles. That'd be a very wonderful thing, and that's 1 Corinthians 10. But even in our trouble, that is where God is blessing us. Our troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I don't know you personally, intimately, do I? But I know, my friends, because I know myself, some of you will be lonely. Some of you will be afraid. Some of you will have anxious thoughts. Some of you will have sleepless nights. Some of you are passing through difficulties. I've been lonely. And if you're anything like me, I've been more lonely in a crowd than I have on my own. I know what it is to be preaching in a meeting, and it's all lovely lights, and everybody talks to you nicely. Then you get out and go in the car, and it's a dark winter's night, it's raining and it's cold, and you've got to drive all the way home in the dark, and when you get home, there's nobody there. You go from the bright lights, that you've had all day, to the darkness and the coldness. Let's be honest, my brothers and sisters. Don't just try and kid the world and say it's all happy every day and it's all with no troubles. We have our troubles and difficulties. What I'm trying to give you this morning, my friend, is this word. Those troubles, the valley of Achor, that is where God is actually blessing you, even in those troubles. You see, you know that hymn, don't you? How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. You remember that line which says, and sanctify to me my deepest distress. What does he mean? Make this deepest distress, whatever it is,
a blessing
to me. That's it. The valley of Achor, a door of hope.
Lovely.
Now, let me tell you, I'm not going to give any names, but in my experience just at the moment, I've got two families who have written to me. And they're very dear to me, these families. They're godly people, okay? And they've meant much to me. I'm not going to give them any names. But both of them, they don't know each other, but both of them, for very different circumstances, but it's really the same. Both of them have at the moment, in their family, a younger member of the family who has responsibilities, and somehow out of the blue has come a tremendous affliction. We don't know where it's going to end, in fact. And I'm thinking of them. And what can I say to them? I don't know what to say, except the valley of Achor is a door of hope. Now, I can't explain that. I'm not speaking to them, I'm speaking to myself. I want to take this home. And I want to learn to say this, that in the midst of this distress, whatever it is I'm going through now, God is working his purpose out, and all things are working together for good for me. Because I love God, because I'm the called according to his purpose. But there's another hymn, and it's by William Cowper, and I'll leave it with you, because it's my testimony. Some of you might know this hymn. Sweet truth, do you know what I'm going to say? Sweet truth, and easy to repeat. Cowper is speaking about the promises of God, like I've given you this morning. The valley of Achor shall be a door of hope. Cowper says, he's being honest, sweet truth, and easy to repeat, easy to preach. But when my faith is sorely tried, I prove a learner yet, unskillful, weak, and apt to slide. I haven't come here to preach this because I've attained to it. I'm preaching this because I want to attain to it. I want to realize that God is working in my life so that even in these dark hours, these dark times, I want to be able to say from my heart and feel it that this Valley of Achor is my door of hope, that somehow this will be sanctified to me, to my good, and to God's glory. Now, if this is recorded, if it comes out, I will send the link to my two family friends. Whether I do any good to them or not, I don't know. But I hope it'll do some good to you. I hope it'll do some good to me. The Valley of Achor shall be a door of hope. Let's say it. The Valley of Achor shall be a door of hope. And that's for you, brother, and for you, sister.
What's the first line of that hymn?
Oh, it's the fourth verse.
Oh, don't worry now.
I'll let you have it.
Yeah.
I'll let you have
in
it.
My glory.
Yeah, it's in Gospel hymns. I'll give you that line again. Sweet truth and easy to repeat, but when my faith is sorely tried, I prove a learner yet, weak, unskillful, weak, and apt to slide. It's what Jesus said. The man said, Lord, I believe. He said to Jesus, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen.